If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, reading from verses 3 through 5. In the Pew Bible, it is page 987. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and at all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Some years ago, a new faculty member at a university in North Carolina moved from the Midwest. A year later, he was talking with some of his colleagues about an experience that he had in his moving. In fact, this experience was repeated several times. Moving to the South was a different thing from the Midwest. As his colleagues wondered what possibly happened that had impressed him so, he said, "Well, one of the first questions that I encountered from neighbors and even from co-workers was, 'So, have you found a church to go to yet?'" As his colleagues, all of whom, by the way, were raised in the South, looked at him with quizzical looks, one of them said, "So what's wrong with that?" And the man explained, "If you ask that question where I come from, most people are going to tell you it's none of your business. Religion is private there, and it isn't one of those things you really go around talking about a whole lot." He told them that later he learned that the question wasn't meant in a mean way, though initially that's how he took it. People were being too nosy. But he said, "I learned that in the South, religion is social. Church is where you meet people and where you connect with the community. People aren't just being nosy. What they want to know is, are you getting settled in yet?" Now, while he's partially correct, for most Christian groups in the South, church, while it is social, and I'm not just talking about the church socials, it is more than that. It is communal. It is a place where we come together and we commune. That doesn't mean we're living in a commune with long hair and holy jeans and all those kinds of things. Although I really like long hair, but yeah, that's... And I still have some bell-bottom jeans that I wore back in the 60s and 70s. Big bells on the legs and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not talking about that kind of commune. I'm talking about being communal as a community of believers who have made a common commitment to live out faith together. It is more than just a commune. We have come together as a community with a common goal, under a common theme, and a common commitment to live our lives together. Our spiritual growth is not just ours alone, though spirituality is individual to an extent for Christians. Our spiritual growth is partially formed in the community. It is partially formed by the community. And really, our spiritual growth is not just for us. Our spiritual growth is also for the community. Your spirituality, my spirituality, the spiritual growth of every Christian in the church as a whole, but even more specifically in our specific community, is not just for my good or your good, it is for the good of the whole. All of us as a community of faith. But this is not something that happens merely by chance, nor by birth. We have to be intentional about our spiritual lives, both as individuals and as a body. The body of Christ, or as the title in the bulletin, Corpus Christi, body of Christ. And by the way, this sermon was formulated long before Rita came along taking a beat on Corpus Christi or anywhere else in Texas. Though, as I have said before, it does strike me as odd that we have a nuclear submarine that could fire nuclear missiles and destroy a large portion of the earth named the Corpus Christi. But that's another discussion for another time, I guess. Now, while this image of body has almost become trite for many. I mean, really, if you think and if you look at and listen to a lot of folks in church and they talk about the body of Christ, that almost seems like a trite title. Paul used it very often, and it was anything but trite for Paul. Paul was attempting to challenge and to lead churches to exemplify a body. And not just any body, to exemplify a healthy body. Recognizing that sometimes sicknesses attack healthy bodies as well. But we are to strive to overcome and to be a healthy body, for we are indeed part of the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. When we read the passages in the New Testament that mention the body, we usually think about the body and its members in an organizational way. The head, bones connected to the neck bone, or the knee bones connected to the shin bone, connected to the ankle bone. And we're not going to sing that whole song, but that's kind of how we generally think of the body when we read it in the New Testament, in an organizational way. But Paul is not using it that way most of the time. Not as an organization. Even as a church, not as an organizational form. He uses it most of the time in the sense of community, that is, belonging. Not a hierarchical structure and organization, but in the sense of belonging, being part of a community. When he speaks of being members of the body, he means to be part of the whole, not just a separate section. And he doesn't mean just to have a name on a membership roll. Paul really is thinking about an actual body and how the different parts fit together and function, not individually, but function together as a living organism, not a mechanical organization. The church is a living organism with all of the intricacies and relationships that are involved in living. So what does this mean for us? We as the body of Christ, the church, what does that mean to be not so much organizational and mechanical, but rather communal and members of the whole? First of all, I think it means to realize that individual members cannot live totally by themselves. We cannot survive totally by ourselves. A person can live without a foot, but a person can't live without a heart. And contrary to how some people may act, a person can't live without a brain. The foot cannot live by itself. Even though in some of those 50s and 60s movies, and the mad scientist would have a head over here and a foot over here and an arm over there, you know, connected with tubes and all. That really doesn't work. But neither can the heart or the brain. They cannot live separately and totally by themselves. While some parts of the body are more important to sustaining life than others, for the body to be whole, it needs all parts. For it to function completely, it needs all parts. Even those that might seem to be somewhat insignificant. Each one has a part of the whole and the life of the whole. Full life comes to the members through the entire body itself. We as individual members can do some things on our own, but really, we do not get full sustenance for life except from the church as a whole. How many of us have had our lives and spirits devastated in various ways, only to have them enriched and sustained and renewed, not totally by our private prayers and our private Bible study, but enriched and inspired and guided through the church as a whole, through others who are part of our whole, enriching us, uplifting us, giving insight, sometimes propping us up. I think we have all found these things, and even more, as part of the body of Christ. Something which, by the way, I think is more difficult to find in a 5,000 member congregation. Next, we find that what affects one person in the church affects others. Of course, what affects one part of the physical body affects the rest. Learned some years ago, how do you tell if you've broken your ankle as opposed to just spraining it? According to the orthopedist, when my father broke his ankle visiting us many, many, many years ago, turned it over, he said, oh, it's just sprained. The problem is, as soon as he turned it over and fell down, when he tried to get up, he felt like he got real nauseous and felt like he was going to pass out and broke out in a cold sweat. The orthopedist said, that's a sign of a broken ankle as opposed to simply a sprained ankle. And it didn't just affect the ankle. It affected his whole system. Or how many of you have ever been driving a nail with a hammer and you hit the wrong nail? That thumbnail is not the only thing that suffers when you do that. The air around you may suffer. But the rest of your body feels that effect as well. Or you stub your toe in the middle of the night. If you have a cold, it doesn't just affect your head. If you get the flu, it doesn't just affect one part of your body. The whole body is affected negatively. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul writes, if one member suffers, all suffer together, and if one member is honored, all rejoice. What affects one part of the community affects the entire community. If one member is missing, the whole body suffers because the loss of what that person or that part can contribute causes the body to suffer. A professor one time said, if you're in the wrong place, the right place goes unfulfilled. That's part of this community being body of Christ. But we alone are not the body either. And I mean, we at First Baptist Piedmont are not the entire body by ourselves. We are part of the larger Corpus Christi in the world. As such, we have a responsibility not only to do our part for our members, those who have committed themselves to participate here together, but also to work for the well-being of the entire body. Our meeting and worshiping and working is not just for you and for me and for the others that are on our membership roll or part of our community. We are to look out also to the interests of others. And we do that in many ways. This is something that often goes against the grain of we who are Baptists. Or would seem to, because we talk about the priesthood of believers and soul competency, which would almost seem to be an individualistic kind of thing. And while that is true to a certain extent, we didn't do everything alone, and we don't do everything alone. In fact, when we talk about those things, the priesthood of all believers, each person's a priest unto himself and herself, that's only a part of it. Along with that priesthood, we are not priests just for ourselves. We are, as Carlisle Marnie's book was entitled, priests to each other. That is communal. The priesthood of believers is about caring for others' needs. And think back to your own experience. You would not be who you are as a Christian if other Christians kept it all to themselves and were totally individualistic. You are the Christian you are because of, in part, a group of Christians of which you have been a part who committed themselves to share that life with you and with each other. Now, we do have to, in some areas, I must make a disclaimer here. We do have to think about the church in an organizational way. Because decisions have to be made, budgets must be set and met, and other things that allow organizations to function and to do things for others have to be met. So there is a part of the church that must think organizationally. But that is not to be our main focus. Some churches do not give enough attention to those things and give most of the attention to the organization, to programming simply for the sake of numbers and having large roles. I still remember a church in North Carolina some years ago who boasted in their half-page ad in the newspaper every Saturday, "Come join us, largest bus ministry in the county. Send your children on our buses." Interesting, didn't say come with your children or come worship with your children, but send your children. They gave out candy, they gave out comic books, they gave out toys. Had big bags and boxes of those on their bus every Sunday as they went around. Why? I don't know all their motives, but it seemed to me at least part of it was so that they could run that half-page ad every Saturday that said, "Largest bus ministry in the county. Send your children." If we become too much like just another organization, though, we run the risk of losing touch with the life-giving and life-affirming potential that Jesus gives to us as a community. We are primarily a living organism, not an organizational body. When we offer membership in our church, we need to remember that what we offer is more than just opportunities to give tithes and offerings, more than being on a committee, more than being on the deacon board. What we offer as the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, is an opportunity to become part of a living, growing, breathing, life-affirming organism. And the opportunity not just to simply be on the roll, but to participate in the body of Christ. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, but being members together in a community of faith, committed to each other. May we pray? Lord our God, sometimes we forget that we are part of the larger body, and that the things that we say and do affect other parts. Help us to truly seek to be more of a living, breathing, and growing organism, moving forward, even moving forward in our own spiritual growth. Not for our good, but for the sake of the body of Christ. Touch our hearts, renew our minds, that we might truly find our place and fill our role in the community. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 358. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. One of those glimpses of truth, I hope, is how you and we work together, even more so as the body of Christ. If you have never made a profession of faith in Jesus as Savior and feel led to do so and to become part of that Corpus Christi, we would invite you, and our altar is open. If you would join our fellowship, our community of faith, through transfer of letter or statement of faith from another church, our altar is open, as it is for any who would renew and rededicate themselves to God's service. Hymn number 358, Open My Eyes That I May See.